Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 92, Identity in Christ. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on September 8th, 2019.
Privilege of talking about identity, praise the Lord. And maybe, you know, maybe that's a topic that it's like, identity, that's like beginner. That's like beginner stuff. Yeah, I got that. Like, I know who I am. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I got that. Jesus loves me. Jesus, you know, we say that. Jesus loves you. God bless you. But if you have that attitude, I just ask you to open your heart, because God always wants to take us deeper in who we are, that we truly have a revelation, and that revelation can just expand and come to our hearts, that we can live that out, walk out in victory. Because the whole point of walking in our identity is so that we can accomplish His will and purpose and plan for our lives, right? And we're studying that right now in our cell groups, how to find, follow, and fulfill the will of God in our lives, right? We have to know who we are if we're going to be able to get to that point. Yes? Amen? Praise the Lord. So I wanted to just start with a picture. And I saw this and I thought, oh, wow, yeah, this is really good. And it shows, it's a biblical representation. And we'll talk later about David. David knew who he was. And this is the picture. It says, and for those of you listening, it's basically depicting the scene of David fighting Goliath, right? The Philistine. And it says, the giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives in you. Amen. Amen. I thought that was so good. And I was talking this over and sharing it with Santos yesterday, and I was thinking, you know what? This is what God says. This is the truth. This is the word of God that says that the giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives inside of you, because we know that truth, right? That He lives inside of us and He's more powerful, bigger than anything. But my reality maybe isn't that. Maybe I don't really have that revelation. Maybe I don't really understand that in my heart. And so therefore the giant that's standing in front of me is actually bigger, because I'm magnifying that instead of magnifying who lives inside of me, which is the living God, right? And so it's so important for us, and we're going to dive into this today, to have a revelation, an understanding of who is inside of us, who's behind us, who goes before us, and therefore we can face any circumstance, any obstacle, any giant, because we know that God is with us. And that's the point. That's the point of understanding. And God wants us to understand. It's so dear to His heart that we understand who we are in Him. Amen? Okay, so let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just bless you today. We lift you up. We exalt your name. You are God, you are King, you are Lord of our lives. Father, we just open our hearts to you. I thank you for showing me and just reminding me this morning, Lord, that you are the living water. You are the living water that just sweeps and washes anything old or stagnated waters. You stir up, you make it fresh. So we just open our hearts wide to you today, and we ask that you bring your living water, that it just flow through us to have an understanding maybe of things that we once knew, or things that we have not yet seen. Make it become revelation in our lives, that we can live and walk out in what you have for us, because we understand how dearly loved we are, and we understand who we are in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can take the picture off. We are going to jump into the word here. This is all about, so how do I see myself? Right? How do I see myself? who am I really? And then in the faith, because we can say one thing, it can be just like kind of lip service. And then when I'm in front of a battle or I'm in front of that Goliath, you know, it's like sometimes maybe just crumble a little bit, you know. So who am I really? What identity am I walking in? And I'll tell you, I am preaching to myself up here because a couple of weeks ago, I had some stuff come up that I was just like, where is this coming from? Well, guess who knew that I was going to be preaching on identity, right? But God said, speak it to yourself. I'm like, well, I maybe shouldn't be up here speaking about identity because all this stuff was like stirred up. And I'm like, I haven't dealt with this stuff in years. And it was like, speak it out. Believe in faith. Continue to strengthen yourself on the word of God. And so when I'm up here speaking, it's first to my own mind and to my own heart. But I think we can all learn from this. So, and I saw this quote. It kind of attaches to the picture. And what we're talking about here is that the more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. Isn't that so true? The more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. And so that's why it's important to the heart of God that we reaffirm who we are, like with these scriptures that that Angie printed out here, the who am I. We need to reaffirm ourselves and get this really in our heart so that it becomes revelation, that the Spirit of God can make it come alive to us, because that is how we will walk then. That affects our behavior. So let's go to the word here. Ephesians 1:3. Well, Ephesians 1 is a great book. And if any of you have seen the movie, the new Christian movie that's out right now called, what's it called?
Overcomer.
I kind of got inspired by that because there's a part in there where you know, this young girl just receives Jesus and somebody that's coming alongside of her and teaching her about the love of the Lord encourages her to read Ephesians 1. And so, not that I'm doing this based on a movie, but it inspired me because I really liked it. And I kind of took that from the movie and went home and did it myself. I don't know if any of you have done that with Ephesians 1 or other parts of the scripture. But so it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Wow. That is a lot packed in there, right? So we're going to break this down a little bit. It's in the first, and all throughout this, but just starting with the first, the first sentence there, there's a verb, there's an action verb that God does, right? It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. We talked about that a couple months ago when I preached on, we talked about that, just that, that we are blessed, right? It all comes from God. He did it. He blessed us. So the translation of that for my life, when I say, well, who are you? From what the scripture, what the Spirit of God says is that, well, I am blessed. Because Christ, it says, Christ has blessed us, right? We're, if you're born again, then we're included in that us. So he has blessed us. So who are you? I'm blessed, right? I am blessed. And remember, recap. This was the last book that we studied in cell group. God's blessing is spoken favor over you. Nothing can stop God's blessings. He's done it. It's done over your life, except you, right? By opening up the door to sin. And that obstructs, you know, the devil then says, oh yeah, all right, she opened a door for me. Let's have a fun time here, right? And it obstructs, it blocks the blessings from God coming in my life. But I'm the only one that can stop those blessings, right? Correct? Amen? Okay, so I am blessed. That is our first number one identity, what he's saying, the word of God here. The Spirit of God breathed on this, on Paul to write this, right? So I am blessed. Amen. So the second one here. What's the next action, like the next verb that you see, the second sentence? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So who are you?
Chosen.
I am chosen. I am chosen. That has such significance. I like hung out there for a little while because did you ever, when you were in like grade school, you know, and they're in PE, physical education class, and they're picking the teams, and there's captains, and they're picking the teams, right? I was like one of the last ones to be chosen a lot of times, and you just feel like nobody wants me on their team. I may not be a good dodgeball player, but I'll cheer you on, you know? Don't you want me on your team? When you feel chosen, like the kids that got chosen first were like, yeah, I'm doing well. I got the best arm for the dodgeball, you know, whatever sport they were going to be playing. You feel important, and that's what God says to you. I choose you. You're not just some leftover thing. You're not just second best that God goes, oh, I just got stuck with you. Aren't you glad? God goes, you're the first one. I want you on my team, that first one. Or the other night when Tina was giving the message for the Shabbat, she was talking about the drama, the whole drama of the calendar of the feast and the calendar of God. And she was sharing with us that she was in, you know, into drama and things. And so that's another, if that's more your area than sports. So when you go to do a tryout and you're chosen, like the ones that are chosen for the leading role, you feel important. You feel significant. Like, oh, they want me. They think I can do a good job. Well, God knows that you can do a good job when you're in him. And so that's why he chooses you. So there's such significance there. You are chosen. He wants you, right? In John 15:16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Like out of all the people, God says, I choose you. I love you and I'm choosing you. I want you on my team. Come and be a part of my team. That's pretty awesome. So we continue. He chose us. So there's more of that. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. What did he choose us to be? I mean, I camped out just on chosen, but really the whole context of this here is he chose us before the creation of the world, before the world was even created, to be holy and blameless in his sight. So the translation, when I say, who are you? I am holy and blameless in his sight. So when God looks at you, do you know what he sees? He sees Jesus. Yeah, he sees the righteousness. We are the righteousness of Christ, of Jesus. How does that go? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? So when he looks at you, he sees that righteousness. Righteousness is being right with God. You're holy and you're blameless. Because of what Jesus did, it was all him. This was like all his action, and we get to reap all these benefits and say, well, I was chosen then to be holy and blameless, like spotless, right? Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Right? In another place it says, and we talked about this on Friday, I think, that he remembers your sins no more.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You are holy and blameless, spotless in his sight. Wow. I need to remind myself of that sometimes. So we continue. Who else are we? In love. I just wrote this out, but I didn't. I'm going to go to the scripture so I can see what verse that is. In love, what verse are we in? Thank you. Well, it's going into five then. Four into five. Okay, right. So in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So I am predestined. That means it was set up before the beginning of time. It was in God's heart that I would be adopted as his son or daughter, right? So I am adopted as his son or daughter. I was predestined to be that. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's inside of us. That's been placed inside of us. And that comes out to us. It testifies. The Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we belong to God, that we are his children, that he is our Father. And there's so many scriptures about this, but these are just a few here. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. I am a child of God. Like my husband shared, maybe you didn't have a relationship, a deep relationship with your earthly mother or father, but he's saying here, I love you. I take you as my own. I take you as my son or my daughter. And that fills our lives. That fills our heart with what we maybe didn't receive from our earthly parents. So we continue. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So he's given us grace, right? Continue. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So this is double packed here, double package. So the first one, point 5, is you are redeemed. Right? It says in him, and you could do a whole study. There's so many, about being in Christ, in him, in Christ. And especially in this book of Ephesians, it says that so many times in him, because we also know this scripture that says without him, I am nothing. Without God, you are nothing. We have to be in him. And then that's where our worth comes from. That's where our value comes from. So in him, we have redemption through his blood. He has redeemed us, right? We know this verse, Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were headed, we know this, right? The wages of sin is death. We were headed to death. We were headed to eternal condemnation, damnation, right? And Christ redeemed us from that by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, right? Thank you, Jesus. I am redeemed. That is huge. I am redeemed. Like, there's no sin counted against me. I am holy and blameless. Wow. That's enough to just like turn somebody's life totally upside down right there. All of that. Right? And then even more, it just keeps getting better and better. You are forgiven. The second part of verse 7. It says the forgiveness of sins, right? We have, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law and we've been forgiven. I am forgiven. Amen. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1. Oh, that has like been one of my life verses that I have to repeat to myself. I am forgiven. There's no condemnation against me. Help me to do better, Jesus, if I feel like I've messed up, right? But his word says that I am forgiven. Hebrews 10, 17 says, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Jesus on the cross became that for us, right? He fulfilled that for us. So we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we are forgiven. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Is anyone else excited by this? Okay, keep going. So, verse 8, so he lavished on, it says that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So, number 7, maybe this isn't an I am, but this is something that I have based on what Jesus did, right? I have knowledge of the mystery. It was a mystery, but he's filling us in. Ooh, we get to be a part. We're included in this. I have knowledge of the mystery of his will to bring unity, bring all things together, unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's right. Verse 10, right? Verse 9. And verse 9 and 10 together. With all wisdom and understanding. All wisdom and understanding belongs to me. It might be in seed form, but it's been given to me. I need revelation of it, right? And I have knowledge. I have the mind of Christ, it says, the word says. So, number 8, I found this interesting that it repeats here. Point 8, verse 11. In him we were also chosen. He goes back to that. Be interesting to do a study of the words there. Is that a different Greek word than the chosen that he used in verse 4? But it just says we were chosen, or maybe he just wants us to know the weight of that. For me, that is so significant. Being chosen, that means you're important. I want you. I'm calling you out. You are chosen. Having been predestined, like this was in his heart a long time ago, before the creation of the world, according to the plan of him, God's got a plan, and I am in it. That is good news. Hallelujah. This is where you guys say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we awake? Okay.
We're awake.
Woo. So, I got so excited I missed my spot here. Verse 12. Yes, he has a plan who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Like my life, myself, I am for the praise. I cause praise, right? The praise of his glory. I bring delight to the heart of God. And verse 13, and you were also included in Christ. So I am, included. Don't you feel important when somebody includes you? Like if somebody's sharing a secret around and they share it with everyone except you? We want to be included. God says, I include you. I bring you in. You are mine. You belong to me. That's what that means. You belong to me. You are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, and this is the cherry on the cake, guys, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. This one belongs to me, like branding a cow, right? Like, this one is mine. So if it's out there roaming around, that one out there, he's our shepherd. Bring it back. That one belongs to me. We are marked. We can't get away from his love. Marked in him with a seal, and it's the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. All that belongs to us is our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Wow. So, I don't think I wrote this one down, but that could be also those who are God's possession. That's us. I am God's possession. Yes. So add that one to the list. I am God's possession. I belong to him. He is mine, mine, mine. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We are so rich in all of that. And we could go on. I wanted to focus on that part of Ephesians 1, the beginning. But we could go on in Ephesians 2. It talks about being made alive in Christ and how we're seated in the heavenly realms. If you want homework this week, study that one and pull out where you're in Christ and what that means and ask God for a revelation of that. But wow, we are in Christ. We are rich in him. We are chosen. We are dearly loved. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are included. We are his possession. You are holy and blameless. But some might say, but I don't feel that way. Right? Or storms of life come and just kind of like, I can't do that. Or I don't feel like I can face this. Well, it's because maybe we aren't living in the fullness of who God says that we are. And we need a deeper revelation. I believe all of us can go deeper so that we can rise up, that it can be victory to our lives when we say, in the face of a challenge, in the face of difficulty, I know who I am. I am all those things. I am redeemed. You know, all of those that we pick up the sword of the Spirit and we fight and we say, this is who I am. And we have to remind ourselves. We have to stir ourselves up in our most holy faith. And the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning that all of this that I am speaking about, especially if sometimes we feel like wavering in it and we could say, well, I don't really feel it. Well, we don't walk by feelings. And the Lord reminded me of the verse, I don't walk by sight or what I feel by my natural senses. I walk by faith. And so just as, you know, if I'm standing and believing for healing, for example, I have to stand in faith, right? And we know how to do that. And we build ourselves up on scriptures. Just the same way, if you realize and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and shows you a part of like identity and a truth that he says over you that you're not yet walking in or you don't have revelation in, it's the same way. I walk by faith and not by sight because maybe I don't feel it, but this isn't about feelings, we know, right? This is about who the Word of God, who the heart of God says that I am. And so we need to overcome what I see, what I feel, what I taste, what I smell, because those are our physical senses, right? And so all that we need for life and godliness has been deposited inside of us. All of the fruits of the Spirit, all of the joy and the peace and the love and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness, all of that, patience, gentleness and self-control is inside of us. Well, how come I don't see it or feel it? Well, we got to bring it out. In our house, sometimes I say, I got a fruit basket going on right here. Like, reminding myself, I got a fruit basket of patience. I'm like encouraging myself to exercise patience, right? And we call it a fruit basket. Like, it's just abounding. Got to have a fruit basket on your table in your house, right? In your heart. Thank you, Jesus, because it's inside me and I have to exercise it. Like, I have to pick it up like a weight and exercise those things by faith, right? And so I need to have my mind renewed. My mind renewed on the Word of God to understand who I am in Him. To get that into our heart. And however you do that, I love doing voice memos. And so, like, I would take these scriptures or any scriptures, like, on a particular theme, and I open a voice memo. I love technology. And I read it to myself. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. And then I play it back to myself, right? Some people like post-it notes, and they have post-it notes. You go to Ellie's house, and you go into her bathroom, and you can read all that Ellie is affirming herself on who she is, right? And what God has done for her, and who she is in Christ, because you can see post-it notes on her bathroom mirror. It's awesome. We have so many tools. We need to get our mind renewed to these things so that we can be like David, right? God delights in us. And He put all of His heart into creating us. All of His heart, His energy into creating us. And so it hurts God's heart when we don't value what He's been given, what He gave us. Or we don't understand, and we go around maybe in sin because of it, because we're not valuing ourselves. Right? And I want to do an illustration here. Let's just pretend, we're going to pretend that Brother Don is a jewelry maker, okay? And that he loves making jewelry, okay? And that he is, let's say he's my father. We'll say it like that. And he puts all of his love and time and energy into creating a ring for me. And he is so excited to give it to me. Wow. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to take this ring. Huh, it's pretty nice. It's all right. I see a nail sticking up here, though, on this table. I don't want to hurt his ring for real, right? I got to get this nail down this table. I don't know why Pastor Harley left it like this. I'm going to just use this ring here, just hammer it down. Look back at Don's face. Don, change your face. Can you imagine his heart? Okay, this is kind of humorous, but really this would be a sad thing. His heart is breaking. He just put everything into creating this ring for me. He gave this, the most precious that he had, to me. And what do I do with it? Obviously, I'm not understanding the value that it has if I use this to hammer a nail. Right? Sometimes we don't understand, and that's what we do. When we're in a life of sin or we're trapped in lies about who we are, well, I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything. So I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna look for things and people and work or whatever to fill me up. We get involved in sin and we go in this, you know, downward spiral because we're not valuing what God has given us. Ouch. I'm gonna give his ring back now. Thank you. We were created for so much more. God didn't design us to be in sin or to be trapped in lies that to have an unhealthy self-image of rejection of I'm nobody, I'm just poor little miserable sinner, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I don't have comparison, like I'm not as good as, or I don't have this wonderful gift like this one does. Or we could swing to the other side of superiority, like rebellion, right? It's either rejection. If we're not in the truth of God, then we're either in rejection, like I'm poor, miserable, inferior one, or I'm going to show them. I'm going to rise up in rebellion and be like, present myself as sophisticated and superior and be judgmental and critical of others. But really, rebellion comes from a root of rejection. And so either of those are very unhealthy, because I'm not seeing myself the way God created me, what God says over me. And there's a whole teaching on that. And for time, I'm not going to go into that today. But God says that he's going to put a plumb line in the book of Amos 7. You can read this. It says, I'm going to put a plumb line in my people Israel. And basically, just real quick summary, this is a plumb line. A plumb line is like if anyone's in construction, or I think they still use them. I don't know. Yeah, right? So to draw a vertical line, or like to show rectness, right? Was that a word? Okay, so this is like the old school version here. We just created this with my handy husband, a plumb line. And God says in Amos 7, I'm going to put, because the people in Amos, the people were rebelling against him. And they were going around in idols and sin and just turning their hearts away and probably not having a healthy self-image of who they were and rejecting God. Right? And so God says, I'm going to put a plumb line. I'm going to put a plumb line, fall straight. And this is like a law, so that it will be unchangeable. The law, like the law of gravity, if I try to defy the law is not going to be broken. I'm going to be broken if I try to defy gravity, right? And jump off a cliff and see what happens. I'm going to be the one that's broken. So God designed it that way. And so it is with us. He's saying, I put my love and truth in your heart of who you are, that you are chosen and you're forgiven and you're redeemed and all these things that we just read. You're included and you're my possession. You belong to me. But if I don't have a healthy self-image, if I'm not basing my identity in who God says I am and what the word of God says, then I'm going to swing to rejection. Poor me, I can't do it. I'm not like so-and-so. Or I'm going to show them I can be better than all of you. You guys are rotten. I'm the best and all this stuff, right? And so we swing back and forth and we look for all these lust traps to fill ourselves, to fill our hearts, and to make me feel like somebody. And God says, you don't need all that. I put a plumb line where that represents my unchangeable law, my love and my truth poured out for you through Jesus on the cross. And so stop messing around. Stop banging what I've given you, precious gift, around in sin, and value your life. Value who you are in me. And then you will go places, right? Like David. Let's look at the example of David. First, I want to say, Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. We talked a little bit about this, right? If I'm ruled by my senses, that's my flesh, what I see, what I feel, what I taste, what I smell. But the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. So what is governing your mind? The thoughts that we have about ourselves. Right? We need to set our minds to be governed. Think of a government. It makes the rules, right? It's in charge, the government. We need to set up our minds to be governed by the Spirit of God, by his word and what he says, so that we can have a healthy identity and be based in his love and his truth, like this plumb line. It doesn't change. His word doesn't change, right? So that we can build our lives on that true and solid foundation, because it won't change. No matter how I feel, no matter what circumstances, no matter how huge the Goliath is in front of me, I know who I am. So I can face it because you know what? God of angel armies lives inside of me. I'm preaching to myself. Woo! I'm excited, right? I can do it because I'm chosen and I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm included. I'm holy and I'm blameless. And I can go after it because Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me, right? And so I want my mind to be governed, Romans 8:6, my mind governed by the Spirit because that brings life and peace. Right? And so sometimes we need that revelation. Yes, I'll get there. I'm sorry. I took a little segue here. Andrew Womack says in the book that we're reading, I just wanted to quote this. He says, our senses might be telling us that the world is caving in, but in our born-again spirits, we have love, joy, and peace. The only way we can know what we have in our spirit is through the Word of God. It will divide between soul and spirit. The Word will show us who we are, no matter how we feel. So if you're like, oh, feeling a weak moment, go to the Word. It will show you who you are and say, feelings, you're lying to me. You're a liar. Or like, I love what Pastor Peter said last weekend. You're lying to yourselves. We are sometimes. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceived. Go to the Word of God and see what it's saying. And then he also says, people are begging God for results instead of taking the Word of God and finding out their identity in Christ and using the Word like a sword. That is some truth right there. Sometimes we're like, God, do it. Why aren't you doing it? Instead of, like, I need to do, how am I seeing myself? Like, the picture that we first started, is the giant, is the obstacle bigger, or is God bigger? How do I see myself? Right? So instead of, like, we need to take the Word of God and fight with it like a sword. Instead of just begging God or blaming God or saying, why aren't you doing it, God? We have a role in this. Am I aligned to his truth and his word? I remember some words that the Lord spoke to me in a time of, you know, restoration in my life when God was restoring my identity. And I was in, God used, maybe, yeah, I had to stay in Argentina for 7 years because I had a lot to be restored, I think, and with Youth with a Mission serving there. But God served me. Probably more than I served others. It was just an incredible time of I felt like I was born again there. Like, I went as a believer, but when I left 7 years later, I was like a different person. I was walking in a lot more of these truths than when I had gone there. Like, they were actually active in my life. And somebody came and I was serving in the kitchen. I had like weekend kitchen duty. And it was like, oh, this is kind of a drag. Everyone's off on their free days, and they would rotate. So I was, you know, with a team of people and making the food for everyone. And this girl said, I've been praying for you. And she brought on this little piece of paper, and she didn't really know me. And it was a word that just got to my heart. It said that God will make, it's from Deuteronomy 28:13, that the Lord will make me the head and not the tail. She said, you are at the head and not the tail. And it just, I mean, talk about dividing between soul and spirit, like that verse says. It divide, because I didn't feel that way. That got to my heart of what, you know, I didn't feel, I felt like I was at the tail. Not just because I was serving that weekend, but just in general about myself. I was way over, swung over on the side of rejection. Right? And that began, that with many other words spoken from the heart of God to my heart, began to bring out what was already inside of me, out of revelation to my mind of like, oh, he loves me. I'm at the head and not the tail. Another really important verse for me was in Ephesians, the end of Ephesians 1:23. It's like, I don't know, 5 words. It's like so short, and it's just the end of a thought, really. It says, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Or the way I remembered it from one version was, he fills all in all. And that just, that, I mean, it's just very few words. When I felt like I was missing something, or when I felt like I was lowly or weak or whatever, he fills all in all. Like, that became revelation to me, that verse. So I just encourage you, with whatever you feel like part of your identity, or you read these words and you, I'm not sure about that one, God, bring it, bring revelation to me, or show me if there's other words in the, you know, other words in your scripture, give me the rhema word. I need revelation to come so that I can be like David and face, know who I am and face those giants in front of me. Okay, so let's go quickly to 1 Samuel 17. So David knew, he's a perfect model of knowing who he was in God. And so therefore that influenced his behavior, right? Like that quote that we read about, it, the more you reaffirm yourself on who God says you are, that will affect your behavior. That affected, you can see through David's life and from how he confronted Goliath, and he rose up to the challenge when everyone else was cowering in fear. He rose up, and that affected what he did. He was able to be victorious in the challenge that faced him. Right? He asked a question in 1 Samuel. I wrote it here, but I'm going to turn here because I like the real touch of the Bible here. Okay, so in we're in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. He asks a question, right? David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So that shows so much right there. That second question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was making a comparison here, because we know that circumcision represented God's chosen people, right? So by him saying, he was making a contrast, this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm circumcised. He was saying, I'm circumcised because I belong to the tribe of Israel, right? I'm part of Israel. I'm part of God's heart. He was saying who he was by just making that comparison. Does that make sense? This uncircumcised, basically like, he doesn't belong to God. I belong to God. The living God of the angel armies. Like, so who does he think he is? He's not one of God's chosen ones. Like, why would he even try to come up against the living God? Basically, that's what he was saying. Like, this guy, who does he think he is? Yeah, he might be big in stature, right? Back to the physical senses. And everyone else there was basing the situation and how they perceived the outcome was going to be based on their senses, based on what they were seeing. Oh, this guy is huge. And they were cowering in fear. David said, no, I understand that these things are spiritual. I belong to the living God. It doesn't matter how big he is or what kind of fancy armor he's got on. He thinks he can defy the armies of the living God. So that tells us about David understood who he was, and therefore, who do you think you are messing with a child of the living God, basically, right? David was secure that he would have the victory because he knew who he belonged to. God was on his side, not the Philistine side, right? And he trusted God's spiritual strength to come out. And therefore, he said, yeah, I'm going to fight this guy. I'll go up against him. Right? he was just being a living sacrifice, being used by God, because he knew that God backs me up, right? And so whatever situation you are facing this week, this month, this year, I know that God backs me up. So anything that tries to come against me or against the truth of God, who do you think you are, trying to defy the God, the living God, a child of the living God? Like, I know who I am. I know who's in me, right? And how powerful that is. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't over on the side of superiority, like all puffed up. He knew that he needed God, and that, so he, but he was bold. He was courageous, therefore. Do you see the distinction there? And so because of that, then he skipped down to verse 45 through 47. So David said to the Philistine, so this is when he, you know, they were giving him the all this fancy armor. Saul was dressing him in all the fancy armor, and he's like, no, I don't need that. I've slayed the bear and the lion and the, you know, out in the forest. So this is me. Like, he was walking in his identity. This is what fits me. I'm not going to try to fit in the armor of somebody else, because that's for somebody else. This is who I am. Right? And so he says to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, right? Physical tools or weapons. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Look at that boldness there. He just says to him, and so we can say that to our problem, our obstacle. God's going to deliver you into my hands, right? The Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. So whatever mountain, whatever giant, whatever obstacle, you say that to it. I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to strike you down and cut off your head because of who's in me. I may not look violent, but watch out, because God is in me, right? No, we go with love, but you get my point here. When something is coming against you, this very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. He is painting a picture here. He is painting a picture, and it's not very pretty, right? But he's saying, you're going down. Basically, all those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Amen. The battle that we fight belongs to the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, we can stand tall, and we can go out and face whatever it is that's facing us. We don't have to be like the other ones that were cowering and, I don't know, peeking out. That looks really big. Don't go by here. Go by who's inside of you, right? Go by the truth of God, who he says you are. I can do this because Christ is in me, and he strengthens me, right? Because I am chosen and I am appointed and he lives inside of me, and I'm at the head and not the tail, right? And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And whatever truths that you have that you need to build yourself up on, let it come out and say, I'm going to cut off your head. So take that, right? Okay. I got to simmer down here. All right. Do we have time for groups? Totally last track of time. We're going to do our groups. Okay, praise the Lord. We are going to break into our groups, and then we'll come back and wrap it up. So you can look at it on podcast. We just had a little break into our small groups, and we were discussing what God spoke to our hearts, what the Holy Spirit says that we are, and which scriptures or which parts of our identity that God says who we are do we need a deeper revelation of. So I love that part in the song that says, hey, take a look at me. I'm a wonder, right? Yeah. We need to say that. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now, right? It's not about our what we see with our physical eyes, because we walk in faith. I am holy and blameless in faith. Maybe I don't feel that way, but in faith, that's who I am, because that's who God says that I am. Take a look at me. I'm a wonder, right? That's awesome. You are. You are all wonders for Jesus. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. That is, God is so good. So let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. And before I do that, I just want to say this, that if you struggle in any of these areas, just ask God. Yes. Just ask him. He wants so much that we know the fullness, that he can be the fullness that fills everything in every way, like Ephesians 1:23 says. And that we get a revelation that we are already complete in Jesus, and that we don't need to puff ourselves up. We don't need to do these comparison games. We don't need to like prove ourselves or show ourselves, because we are complete in Jesus. You are loved for who you are, regardless of what you have, regardless of what you do. You are loved. And your value, your worth, is worth the blood of Jesus. That's how precious you are. Your life is worth the blood of Jesus. Right? So if you don't look for your value and your identity in Christ, then we'll go blue in the face and do all kinds of weird stuff trying to prove ourselves or measure up or compete with others and look to other things, outside things, to fill up our hearts, to make us feel like we're somebody or that we're important. And God says, you don't need any of that. You're important. I've chosen you. So let's rely on the word of God and build ourselves up on who he says we are. We need sometimes to let the word of God create a new picture, like Pastor Harley says it this way, create a new picture of who we are, like a new inner image, right? Of how we see ourselves, and so that we can get our minds renewed. And then you can walk in your purpose with victory. Amen? All right, so just close your eyes. I'm just going to repeat these and pray over us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. Because of everything that you did on the cross for us, because you gave your life for us, we are who you say we are. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are holy and blameless in your sight. We are predestined and adopted as your sons and daughters. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We have knowledge of the mystery of your will to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We are chosen. We are included in Christ. We are marked in you with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We are alive with Christ. We are saved by grace. We are raised up with Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. We are God's handiwork. Thank you, Jesus. These are just some of the truths that you speak and sing over us. Father, I pray revelation for each heart. Father, that we would know how dearly loved we are, and that we would know and have revelation that we are identical to you. Our spirits are identical to Jesus. Let that become a reality in the way that we see ourselves, in the way that we walk, in the way that we face obstacles and challenges. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us all to us, all the tools. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing revelation where we are weak or where we're not totally lined up with the way that you see us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for strengthening us in those areas, and that we can get a new picture that can be the picture that you see of us, of how you see us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be like David, trusting in our powerful God that goes before us, that actually now lives inside of us, and that we don't have to cower in fear in front of a giant, that we can go after it and know that we have the victory because the battle belongs to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being strong in us, and we are strong in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.